The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here with me today. Ooh, we got a very special show in store for you. I'm actually looking really forward to it. I hope you are too. Of course, you know it will be a wonderful show, as they all are. So let's get started with our quotes of the day from the universe and from Abraham. Let's see what they have in store for us today. First, from the universe: whenever in doubt, claim it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and your power will be restored. It's like reverse kryptonite, the universe. We love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the universe, kind of chiding us on to remind ourselves that, yes, I mean, let's claim it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all the everything in our life, because we are the creators of our life. And the good thing about that, as you all know, my loyal listeners, we are the creators of our life, which means if we don't like what we've created so far, we can create something different. And let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. From the non-physical, you created you. And now from the physical, you continue to create. And we are nothing if we are not flowers of energy. We must have objects of attention that are ringing our bells in order to feel the fullness of who we are flowing through us for the continuation of all that is. That is what puts the eternalness in eternity. Abraham. So, an interesting quote from Abraham, and one to try and kind of keep in mind. And I guess he's really trying to realign our focus back to the fact that things are energetic first. Now, you guys have heard me talk about this before. Any wonderful things that we create, any awful things that we create, they are all energetic first. You know, dis-ease is energetic first, and if it's not taken care of energetically, it then turns into problems in our body. The same way, like, amazing things that we create in our life are merely thoughts in our head, our dreams, our visions first, and then they become reality. Nothing ever gets created without it having to have been conceptualized, thought upon, pondered first, mentally, spiritually, energetically first. And so what Abraham is trying to remind us with this quote is that not only are the things we create energetic first, we ourselves are energetic first. We are energetic beings that came into this physical reality in order to fulfill our desires, essentially, our deepest heart's desires. And that this is what is the way that the universe unfolds. This is how the universe comes to know itself, as the immortal words of Carl Sagan. So two kind of cute quotes from Abraham and from the universe, of course. As you guys know, they're always perfectly apropos for our guest, and I am very, very excited to have in I don't know how I describe you, Michael, but like a fellow empowerer of thought leaders, I guess.
That works for me.
Ah, good. So, dear listeners, welcome with me, Michael Shine, who is CEO of Microfame Media, which is a marketing agency that turns consultants into thought leaders when they don't have the time or expertise to do it themselves. He has created and facilitated the production of content for companies as large as eBay, LinkedIn, the Medici Group, 10 Strategic Partners, Abela, Tesla. Ooh, Tesla Inc., really?
I have to tell you, it's Tesla Inc. Yeah. Tesla Inc. is different than Tesla, but they were
Tesla
there first. It's,
yeah, okay.
But it is a large company in the energy industry.
Ah, okay. Sears Interactive, Interiors by Steve Magento, and a bunch of others, including Citrix. He writes a weekly column for Inc. magazine and is a contributor for Fortune and Huffington Post for their blogs, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, HuffPost. Good for you. Michael also created, ran, and moderated the New York Technologies Council's Interactive Marketing Panel Series. And I'm very, very pleased that his trails bring him here to the studios of Talking Alternative. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Michael.
Thank you. I am excited to be here. I find myself in the midst of one of the most unique radio studios I've ever been in. It's this mixture of the high-tech and ancient, to say the least.
Absolutely. And those people who know me and know me well is I am nothing if not a combination of paradoxes. Because I am a tech geek and I do believe in the deeply spiritual and ancient. And I'm really excited today because, you know, both you, Michael, and myself, we kind of deal with people who have a message, have something they're trying to get out to the world, and we work to enable them to do that. And so I'm just curious. I always like to give my audience a little bit of background of how you came to be doing what you're doing. Like, I don't think anybody when they were like a little kid were like, oh, mommy, when I grow up, I'm going to be like a thought leader promoter, you know?
When I was a little kid, that did not exist. The internet didn't really exist except in the government. So.
Right, exactly. Yes, I remember the good old days when it was the ARPANET. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
I think in my time, they had kind of that thing like War Games with Matthew Broderick where you could tap into the government computers from home, but that was about it. Yeah.
When I was in college, I knew a few hackers, like back before anyone knew what a hacker was. And, you know, in these terminals, on these dumb terminals, everything was hooked into mainframes. And I remember one time I even got a message on the screen, like out of nowhere. And I had to call over one of my friends who worked in the computer lab. And I'm like, what's this? He's like, oh, somebody at one of the other schools, you know, messaged you. I'm like, they can do that? And he's like, yeah, like all the city university schools, they're all tied together. You can message each other. I'm like, well, how do I respond? And it's like, oh, and he gave me like the few commands. And we messaged back and forth. And ended up being a girl who was like going to John Jay College. And we ended up dating for like 6 months.
Wow, that's fantastic. So it was one of the first online dating.
Exactly. See, yeah. I'm always a leader. So how did you get into this industry of helping people to get their message out?
Yeah, you know, like so many of these stories in our modern world that is changing so rapidly, aided by technology.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very twisty, windy road, and I looked for side doors. I think if I've had any secret to whatever success I've had, it's that I haven't always plowed straight ahead, right? So, yeah, I was always a writer. I mean, that's been at the core of everything. I was kind of an arty kid. I never knew that I'd own a business.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing led to another, and I worked for a company that basically had a startup division. So I was in the marketing division of that company. But the larger company ran call centers, the most brass tacks thing you could think of, inbound call centers, inbound customer service. Uh-huh. And we were all shifted into that division. And while I was there, there was always a problem with getting leads because it was very transactional, a lot of wining and dining and that sort of thing, a very old business model. And this company was shifting, and I could write. So I came up with this idea of using white papers to generate leads and share our expertise, right? And it worked well.
Uh-huh.
Fast forward a bit, I started my own company and I became a freelance copywriter. And, you know, I built a nice little practice, worked hard. But what I would realize was that a lot of these organizations or people that I would work with.
Mm-hmm.
They had such fantastic ideas.
Yeah.
But they would hire web designers and people like me to write their website and their brochure, and no one would ever see it.
Yeah.
So I started working with them to come up with more creative and effective and efficient ways to let everyone see how smart they were and how unique their ideas were, and it eventually turned into a process, and we started an agency around it.
Wow. So I imagine, like, when you first started, like, putting out those white papers for that company, that was a little while ago, that was probably something relatively new that was being done at the time. It wasn't like today. I mean, everyone has a white paper in order to get you to, like, join their mailing list.
Yeah, I actually think it's relatively ineffective now.
You know,
I mean, at the time, the idea was that if you taught somebody something in depth and then led them to it,
mm-hmm.
and then gave a little plug at the end, mm-hmm. basically saying, you know, all that great stuff we taught you, we do that too. That worked well because people saw white papers as a truly technical piece that gave information. Today, everyone, it's been misused a lot, and people know that it's a pure marketing technique. But the idea of it, the idea that you shouldn't be hard selling people in the new economy where you can have everything you want at your fingertips, and instead teach people, I guess that's what sort of sparked the idea for this new world in my head.
Let me ask you, I actually was going to ask you this later on, but I think I'll ask it you now. I know a lot of marketing gurus now are saying, like, give your most valuable stuff away. Because most people, first, they're going to eat it up. They're going to love it. They're going to love you for it. And most people want things done for them anyway. So by giving away your most valuable stuff, people will come to you and then they'll hire you. Do you believe in that concept? Or
I do, but I think there's a caveat to it.
Okay.
So I have never seen anybody who was generous with sharing what they know have that information stolen. I think people are too precious, or wow, I'm going to take this and do it myself. If anything, it shows how capable you are, and that you're able to do that for them. If they go ahead and implement three things that you've taught them,
I
think it only stands to reason that a good percentage of that audience will go ahead and hire you. I think where people get in more trouble is that they don't have the mechanisms to give away enough. You know, this stuff takes time. It's very challenging when you're running a business that is producing something or delivering the service itself. To then go and blog and podcast and speak and write, do
all the things you need to do to promote yourself and get yourself out there
and share that knowledge that you were talking about. I think that's the bigger problem. That's why I see so many people, consultants, you know, people who want to be thought leaders, and all a thought leader is someone who's seen as an expert in their community. I mean, Gandhi was a thought leader, in the peace business.
Martin Luther King,
So. But I think what happens is they a lot of people have high hopes, and then they try to do it, and it becomes overwhelming, especially if their business isn't a sales business. I mean, a lot of the marketing gurus who do this a lot, they're in the marketing business.
Right. So it's part of what they do.
Yeah. I mean, if you're running the vineyard instead of selling the wine, it becomes a lot tougher to make this stuff happen. So that's the challenge. That's what I see as the biggest challenge, really.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, cool. All right, so we're going to talk a lot about thought leadership and just leadership in general and big ideas, but we're going to take our first little quick break.
Great.
So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour is Michael Shine, CEO of Microfame Media, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Ding,
What are the latest travel trends? How can travel be a part of your overall health and wellness plan? This is William Paris, lifestyle travel consultant and your host on Travel and Wellness Today. Join me on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time for travel chat, travel tips, and travel news updates. That's on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And we're talking this hour with Michael Schein, all about thought leadership. So, Michael, in the last segment, we talked a little bit about it. We did mention a couple of thought leaders, but let's like be real clear about our terms. What really is a thought leader?
It's funny because it's a term I avoided for a long time.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Yeah, you know, it's one of these terms that can mean a whole lot, but like branding, it can mean different things to different people, and it borders on being a cliche. But I started using it again just because people get it. It's the best way to talk about these issues. And I think what it really means, especially if you're in a business where you're selling your ideas, right? If you're a consultant, if you're an expert of some kind, giving your expertise, and that can be a outsourced CFO, it can be a doctor, right? But someone who's selling their ideas and their cutting edge services.
It could also be a coach.
It can be a coach, absolutely. It can be someone selling a product too, as long as that product is backed up by some unique take on the world, right? And I think it's somebody who's known as, if not the expert, one of the experts that are synonymous with that field. So, you know, when a lot of people think of, this is a very high-end example, you mentioned Tesla, the other Tesla, think of clean energy and electric cars, they think of Elon Musk. He's not behind the scenes just producing this stuff. He's on talk shows talking about it. He is out in front advocating for it. He's talking about new approaches to it, where there have been other entrepreneurs.
He's a real evangelist.
He's an evangelist, and he has very unique takes on that. So he is leading the conversation or the thought around that. And I would say that being that kind of person, especially in the field where you're selling an intangible, is it's not just a nice to have anymore. It's more or less necessary in the 21st century for a couple of reasons.
And would you say someone like, let's say, Guy Kawasaki, you know, is a thought leader for technology?
Yeah, I mean, he's such a thought leader that he's almost selling his thought leadership as his service, right? I mean, but that's a perfect example, right? I mean, he is more or less a consultant. You know, I'm sure he sells plenty of books. But I would be very surprised if the bulk of his wealth comes from his book sales. I would assume he gets very, very big speaking and, more importantly, consulting and coaching contracts on a very high level because he's written the books, because he has an awesome blog, because people follow him, that very powerful people will pay him a lot of money for his ideas. So in some ways he's the definition of a thought leader.
And what would be an example, like these are very big names, a lot of people know, especially in technology. What would be like sort of a small example of somebody who people wouldn't normally think of as a thought leader in some small industry?
It's funny that you bring that up as well, because I would say that that's the norm rather than the exception in the internet era. Because as Seth Godin talks about, there are tribes. There's not mass media like there used to be. There are these little tribes. So there are people in my world that are superstars. And I go out to people and I say, you know, hey, we got Gary Vaynerchuk on our show. Right. And they'll say, who is that?
Right.
And he's one of the bigger names, right?
Right.
But
right.
But it's not, you know, it's not the day of Dean Martin, who was in every home in America, right?
Right.
So
right.
Was Dean Martin a good example? I don't think he was really in every home in America, was he?
Frank Sinatra, man.
Yeah, that's probably a better one. but before my time, I guess.
Yeah.
But in any case, yeah, I mean, I think in my world, Chris Brogan, he's a gentleman who, when it comes to innovation and when it comes to, you know, internet marketing to a certain extent, mm-hmm. is a really big deal. But outside mm-hmm. of his little niche,
mm-hmm.
People just don't know who he is. I would say Seth Godin to a certain extent, and he's big, but he's Godin's on the bigger big, end.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
My mom wouldn't know who he is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True. That's true. I tend to quote Seth Godin a lot too, and it's interesting to see like what crowds he's known in and other
right.
crowds he's like totally unknown in.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? You don't know who Seth Godin is? Because he's like such a part of our world.
Exactly.
I'm just so there. So why is it important to be a thought leader today? Because it seems like, I mean, again, the term is a relatively new term, but it's picked up a lot of speed really quickly, and it's really not uncommon to hear people talking about thought leaders or becoming thought leaders these days.
Yeah, you know, I think it was always a nice to have. Why I think you're seeing it pick up such speed now is because the economy has fundamentally changed in the last 15 years, and,
mm-hmm.
and the rug's been pulled out from under us without us even knowing it. So if you
right.
think, I mean, I'm 38 years old, you mm-hmm. know, some, you know, there was a generation under me, a generation or two younger mm-hmm. than me, but I'm not, you know, the oldest man on the block.
Right.
But my mother invited an encyclopedia salesman into our home to sell us encyclopedias. We sat down, we gave the guy coffee, and he sold us this product that isn't used, you know, before, but he literally knocked on our door.
Right.
That would never happen today. Because the first thing people do is proactively search for what they're interested in. So before,
right.
people used to welcome salespeople, even though they, you know, no one likes to be sold, but they would tolerate it.
Right.
Because they had no other choice. That was the only way they could find out about a service or a product.
Right.
Today, it's a complete imposition on people because
right.
you proactively search.
Yeah,
so
right.
how do
it's
you?
It's like the
yeah.
whole thing has been reversed.
Totally.
It's like reversed. No longer do people want to be sold to. It's we go out and find the things we're looking for.
Yeah, and that is so dramatic. That's people don't realize how fundamental a change that is in capitalism,
yeah.
right, or in a market economy.
Yeah.
So the only way to really get in front of people, especially if you're selling a big ticket service,
mm-hmm.
you know, consulting, enterprise software, something that costs a lot of money and
mm-hmm.
is complicated, is to be out there informing and entertaining and showing people how forward thinking you are
mm-hmm.
without knocking them over the head with a sales pitch.
Right.
And I would say the way to do that is to become this expert, the person that people read, follow, hang on your every word, look to you for, you know, forward thinking ideas. Because
right.
then when you finally do propose a solution,
mm-hmm.
it's no longer a sale. It's a consultation.
Right.
It's, of course I would buy from this person.
Right. Because you've built the trust, you know, you've provided value to people,
mm-hmm.
even if not, you know, everything you've put out there has been valuable to every individual, but in general,
right.
the information you're putting out there is valuable to your quote unquote tribe overall. So by your consistency, by your proactively, like not waiting for people to ask you questions, but proactively putting ideas out there for people to consider, it builds up that level of comfort, of trust, of almost people feel like they know you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So a lot of people, like, they know what they know, but they're not always very good at communicating it, are they?
Yeah, no, I mean, we all have our strengths, right? So,
right.
I mean, not only are some people not very good at communicating it, sometimes, even if they are good at communicating it, I'm not sure they even know where to start. We have so many options to communicate right now,
right?
I mean, look
right.
at this thing that we're doing. We're on this crazy thing called an internet radio station. It's somewhere
right.
between radio, podcasting, and some other thing that no one's thought of. And you've built an audience.
Right. Yeah. An international audience. And
right.
I mean, that's, And I think this is one of the things, again, is another one of those real sea changes that the internet has brought about that most people don't realize what a massive shift this is the fact that, you know, if you just put up a website and you put something online that can be digitally downloaded, you now have an international business.
Yep.
You know, the thought of an international business, you know, 25 years ago, it was like you needed hundreds of thousands of dollars in capital and infrastructure and all this stuff. And nowadays, what technology has done is created that infrastructure for us. And now it's just we have to have something worthwhile that people around the world are going to be interested in listening to.
Well, and you have to have ways to get those worthwhile things in front of people, right? I mean, you know, it's fantastic that you're automatically in front of an international audience, but at the same time, so is everyone else. I mean, if you happen to get on ABC, NBC, or CBS, you were going to be watched. The Beatles were going to be watched.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Today, the Beatles could be lost on some sliver of the internet that no one's ever found. If their management hadn't been sophisticated about driving people there.
Right. And there are a lot of, I mean, nowadays, like on YouTube, they said, I forget the number, but there's like some hundreds of videos being uploaded to YouTube like every second. Yes. And there's all kinds of amazing content. And that's just YouTube. I mean, that's not even counting all the blogs and websites and podcasts and everything else. There's so much information being added to the internet every single second that unless you have a way of really standing out from other people doing similar things, you could be like the greatest thing since Nikola Tesla and you'd get lost in the crowd.
Yeah. Now, on the other side, the good news is that every tribe has power players or influencers, and they're easier to gain access to than ever before, if you know what you're doing. So, strangely enough, there are usually between 15 and 30 top power players or influencers that drive the conversation in every niche. And if you go on a social media platform like Twitter or one of these other platforms and engage them as human beings around genuine common interests and converse with them, I've been amazed at how receptive these people are to at least talking with you. And if you can crack that circle, they'll share your stuff. So the problem is sticking something up on the web and just assuming that it's good and people are going to find it.
Right.
I think you have to reorient, you know, right.
Yeah, that's a little bit of not the case anymore.
Right.
And a lot of people, as we were saying before, are really good at what they do, but they're not necessarily good marketers, or they don't necessarily have the time to focus on putting all their stuff out there.
Yeah, that's right.
And so what, I mean, how do people who are like, let's say they have some time, not a lot of time, and they know they should be doing this. Like, let's just start, and then when we come back from the break, we'll continue it. Like, what are some things that they can do that don't take too much time, but are a little bit of an effort that can help them to get the ideas out there?
Well, this is one of my favorite topics, so don't get me started if we've got a break coming.
All right, okay. Then we'll take the break first, and then we'll hit upon this when we come back. So, everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking all about thought leadership and what you can do to be a thought leader. So please stay with us. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour. So, Michael, let's pretend I'm a thought leader. Well, okay, it's not that big a pretend, but I'm a thought leader. I'm really busy, but I have all these great ideas. What do I do?
So, you are a thought leader because you've already figured out a way to get those ideas out there. I want to make a distinction between, and as I think you've done already, between an expert and a thought leader.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So let's pretend you're an expert.
Okay.
And you want to get your ideas out there. Or you're a thought leader whose thought leadership helped you build a business.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, you've neglected the writing and the speaking and all of this stuff that got you to where you are. And mm-hmm. your thought leader status is shrinking a little mm-hmm. bit. I think just like anything else in business, you have to look at the resources you have.
Mm-hmm.
And try to figure out how you can make the biggest impact mm-hmm. with the smallest expenditure of resources. And I don't mean money,
mm-hmm.
although that's part of it.
Right.
Assume, so do you remember the story of Tom Sawyer's fence when he whitewashed, you know, he had whitewash the fence, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, for those of you who may not remember that back from junior high or whenever it was, right? So Tom Sawyer, mischievous kid, his aunt told him to paint this fence white. It was a hard job.
Yeah.
So he started whistling and having all this fun with it. And all his friends came out and, wow, we want to do this too. And they did it for him. And he sat back and ate an apple and they did the work. Now, what people forget about that story is that his friends liked doing it and they came mm-hmm. back the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So work is only work if you frame it that way.
Right.
So one method, and you're doing this to me right now, actually, is to get other people to create your content for you,
mm-hmm.
thank you for it, and mm-hmm. then do things for you as a result. So, you know, one thing you might do is have an interview-based podcast.
Right.
Pick one day a month. It's pretty easy to set up. Batch all the content in one day.
Mm-hmm.
Hire an editor,
mm-hmm.
and then you have a month's worth of shows in one day.
Right.
Then you use something like Twitter, and you find those key influencers that I talked about,
right.
form relationships with them around common interests, mm-hmm. invite them on your show, and they'll mm-hmm. share it like crazy
right.
to the right audience.
Right.
Or, you know, let's say you need to write a book. You know you need a book,
right.
and you know you need an internet presence,
mm-hmm.
because in your world, if you don't have a book, you're not a thought leader.
Right, right.
I'm using podcasts a lot because they're on my mind, or radio right. shows. But let's say you outline an entire season in advance,
mm-hmm.
and every episode is the equivalent of a chapter.
Right.
So now you're broadcasting a podcast, building an audience for that podcast, and then at the end you transcribe what you've got and edit it into a book. So the idea is to constantly be looking for efficient ways to create content, but just as importantly, right. to get it into the hands of the people who can share it,
right.
and then hopefully building relationships with them so that, you know, quite frankly, they'll do stuff for you.
Right, and that you'll also be helping them as well. I mean, right. this is the thing that people, I think, sometimes forget is that in this, what Seth Godin has termed the connection economy, it's about the connections that we make, and the best way to make connections is to be in service.
100%.
You know, find ways in which you can help others who happen to be in key influencing spots. But if you're just in service to them, they'll naturally want to help you.
It's hilarious. I see people, they spend 60% of their time, quote unquote, networking, right? So they're out there, they're making introductions on a personal basis. They're going to fantastic groups like Network Network or BNI,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting some plenty of business that way. Right. And then they've got this social networking thing going on, and they throw all that out the window. They're tweeting positive thinking quotes, they're sharing articles, but they're not doing anything for the people they're connecting with.
Right.
And they're not introducing the people in their social network to their offline network, and you have so much more reach with your social network. So these lines are artificial. The same concepts apply.
Right.
When you give, whether that's a spot on your blog or podcast or a connection or reading someone's work, you may not get back from them, but you become the person that everyone is happy to hear from when the phone rings. And you just work will or business or whatever goals you have, they'll it'll come your way. It just will.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And it's also you can sort of use these different things to support each other as well. Yep. Like, you know, you have your podcast or radio show, your blog can support that just as the radio show supports the blog, and that supports your Facebooking and your tweeting and Instagramming and all that other stuff. Right. It kind of works synergistically together.
Yeah. I mean, a mentor of mine told me a long time ago that sales is the product of activity. And you don't always know where that's coming from, where the sale, and I'm using the word sale, but that can mean raising money, finding a producer for your show, finding a publisher for your book, whatever.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, I think that, you know, for example, we got a lead today from someone I haven't talked to in 2 years, who was a connection, who lives in Malaysia now, out of the blue.
Wow.
But I can only assume, you know, she's my LinkedIn friend.
Uh-huh.
I post our content on LinkedIn.
Uh-huh.
I've helped her in the past. She's helped me in the past. Mm-hmm. I'm tweeting. She's in my circle. Mm-hmm. We've met offline. We've met online. So she's seeing all of that.
Right.
So even though 2 years go by,
I'm
in front of her constantly. Right, but I'm not pitching her.
Right, right. You're in front of her in terms of providing value to her in one form or another.
Right.
And you know, I've heard it said, like, in the past, when you're marketing, when you're trying to educate an audience that doesn't know you that well, it used to take, like, 3 to 5 touch points, they called it, of people hearing about you to really, like, feel comfortable enough to actually want to work with you. And that now, because we're so inundated with information, that's gone up from 3 to 5 to, like, 7 to 12 or 15. So that makes it a little bit, you know, you have to put a little more effort into it than in the past because you really need to interact with people much more.
True. And that's why I often give the advice that you should focus, if you're selling, I call it consulting, but when I say that, it's someone selling their brains, someone selling their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
If you fall into that category, I am a big proponent of focusing on the other side of the keyboard or the other side of the microphone. So what happened with this new opportunity, you know, that happens. But I would say that our biggest deals and our clients' biggest deals come from producing fantastic content, building enough of an audience so that it's valuable, and then inviting influencers to benefit from that content, to appear on the show, to contribute guest content, but in a very genuine way.
Right.
Because then you have a relationship. Then it becomes easy to say, let's meet for coffee. It becomes easy to start doing things for them, and you are now working as equals. You're communicating as equals. How you meet those people is a whole nother story, you know, and we have some thoughts around that too, but we could talk all day about this. But the idea is that instead of trying to,
that's another show.
But instead of trying to get in front of people 10 times, which is great and you should do that. Why not form real relationships by offering something other than just an introduction at a networking group.
And to form a real relationship, it takes time. It's not something that happens overnight. And that's, you know, something I see people doing that just makes me cringe is they think, like, just from meeting you once and talking to you a little bit, like, they have the right to ask you, so do you have any referrals for me? Or who can you introduce me to? And it's like, I just met you. I don't even really know you. You want me to do something for you? It really just surprises me, like, how unconscious, I guess, people are about thinking, like, just because they show up, they deserve something for that, and not realizing that it takes interaction. It takes time. It takes some back and forth. You know, things don't happen overnight.
Yeah, I have a friend that you may know, actually. His name's Michael Roderick. He's So he's the president of a company called Small Pond. And he's all about, he's sort of the thought leader on business relationships and networking. And one thing he says is that where people get into trouble when they're asking for things is that we're just programmed to have a fight or flight reaction. So if you directly ask someone that you hardly even know for something, it's like you're trying to steal my food. And you wouldn't do that in real life. I mean, this is this thing, people go into a different mode. They become almost non-human or you know, when they get into the business realm, right? Whereas if you honestly think how you can serve, you know, and that might seem a little cheesy, but it, but it's true. And if you can build up enough mechanisms to do that, I mean, you're helping me by having me on this show. I think I'm helping you by being on the show. Now our relationship's gone up a notch, right? So if you can look for ways to do that, and then when you finally do ask, collaborate. Say to somebody, only if you mean it, listen, I'm trying to work out how to get my show funded. Can you work through with me some ideas? And you'll either get a solution to your problem or they'll take it upon themselves to introduce you to the right person. Versus, can you give me money? Can you hook me up with the president of Sony?
As opposed to, can you give me, can we work together to come up with some ideas? Because sometimes it's a lot less, I don't know, threatening maybe to say, you know, ask for somebody's help as opposed to ask them to do something for you.
As long as you're not using it as a tactic, you know, that's the fine line. If you're real, if your goal is really to get them to open their checkbook, you have to be very open to however that will turn out. But usually it could be better than what you expect.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're not being authentic with the person, people are going to smell it pretty quickly. And you've really just destroyed a potentially valuable relationship.
Without a doubt.
What do you find today is the biggest challenge for people when they're trying to go this route of becoming a, known as a thought leader?
Time and know-how, honestly. I mean, on one hand, I see it all the time. So if you're American Express, you know, who has the open program, which is their kind of thought leadership thing, you don't only have a marketing department, you have a content marketing department. But if you're a company that, that has revenue of $500,000, $1 million, $10 million, $20 million, you might have three people in your marketing department. So this is what happens. You know, the boss goes to a seminar, then the would-be thought leader. We got to do blogging. We got to do podcasting. We got to do social media. And they come back to the marketing department, and the marketing department runs around like chickens without a head, ghostwriting and blogging and podcasting. Then the boss goes to another seminar, and they have to do, and they realize they have to do event marketing. So the guy, so they, the guy or lady comes home. We got to do event marketing. So they shift focus. The blog drops, and it's completely inconsistent because there's not enough time there. Also, a lot of times people do a lot of activity, but to no end. They throw up a million blog posts, but aren't getting it in the hands of influencers. There's no coherent theme. There's no hooks. The same with podcasting. I think it's important to create the kind of strategies we talked about to figure out how can I most efficiently get in front of people and make it as consistent as possible with the least amount of resource expenditure. And then how can I target the right audiences so that it spreads quickly?
So it's really being thoughtful and strategic in some ways. It's like not just, you know, see how much, you know, dirt we throw against the wall and see what sticks. It's really like being somewhat strategic and saying, you know, let's see, what can I do that's really going to attract this particular audience? Or how can I really serve people in this industry that's going to get them to just want to share my content?
That you can sustain. I mean, that's the important part.
Cool. Okay, believe it or not, see, time flies fast when you're
having fun. I am having fun.
Time for our last commercial break. So when we come back, let's just talk about some last couple of little things, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about getting found, and we'll see where that takes us. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour has been Michael Shine, CEO of Microfame Media, and we will be right back. Thank you.
You are listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Dude. Transforming Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com. It's the Dudes of Disruption.
The Dudes of Disruption is a new show geared toward the global tribe of disruptors who are committed to interrupting the automatic ways of their lives so they go out and leave their mark on the world powerfully.
Consider every Tuesday night, 8 to 9 Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com, forever disrupted. The Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatic.
Dude.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Michael, it's been really great having you on the show this hour. So in our final segment, why don't we just give people some tips about how to get found? Because that's really the biggest challenge these days, isn't it?
It is. And it's funny. I was thinking during the break about something really important that I left out when you said, how do you become a thought leader?
Okay.
And I think this has a lot to do with getting found as well.
Okay.
You have to have a unique approach. In other words, there's already a conversation going on online.
Right.
And if you're just adding the same stuff to that conversation, you can do all of these techniques that we talked about, and no one's going to pay attention to you.
And we do find that people tend to just repackage other people's concepts, and it's really the same thing. So there's nothing new or really that interesting about it. There has to be something that really, a different take on it, a different facet of it, a different application of it that makes it valuable.
Yeah. I mean, so we have a client, the Medici Group, and their owner is someone I've been a fan of as a reader for a long time. His name's Frans Johansson, and he's an innovation consultant, but he's all about diversity, but in a very unique way. He believes that innovation and creativity comes from combining vastly different concepts, seeing how they intersect, and then doubling down on the things that catch fire. So there's a lot about diversity. There's a lot about innovation out there. There's all of these things, but he's come up with this unique point of view, and it's worked very well for him.
I see.
So I would say that's the first thing. You know, certainly pay tribute to the conversation that's happening, but find a sliver of it that only you can speak to.
Right.
Once you do that, I would say that the first thing is get on social media, make a list of the people who are controlling the conversation. And the way you can usually tell is that they talk about each other online. So if you if you were to look at all the blogs and podcasts and media out there, there'd be a million that never get mentioned.
Right.
And there are probably like 30 that are constantly referencing each other.
Right.
Focus on them. Add them to, I like Twitter, but there's a lot of different tools. Add them to a Twitter list. And then talk to them about genuine interests. So, there's a gentleman named Brian Clark, thought leader in my world, owns Copyblogger. I think they're called Rainmaker Media now.
Okay.
And he usually talks about it's all business. But once in a while, he would say something about a band like Joy Division or some post-punk band. And I like that music.
Okay, yeah.
So I started talking to him about that.
I see.
And we became friends.
Friends.
Because everybody is a human being. And everyone's being hit up all the time for business, so if it's sports, if it's music, if it's just some, you know, be an interesting person, be an interested person.
Right.
But target those people, not everybody.
Right.
And then eventually you say, hey, if it fits, I'd love to have you as a guest on my show. I'd love to have you on a special segment. I'd love to write about you. Now suddenly you're offering them something.
Right.
Have them on there. Ask who else they know.
Mm-hmm.
Give them an email that allows them to share your stuff easily.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in an area that this works for, New York makes it easy, meet them in person, do right. things for them,
right.
and they'll become your advocate.
Right.
And then there are technical things you can do. I mean, iTunes has its own internal search engine. You can right. optimize for that with keywords. You can try to get reviews.
Right.
There are things you can do with your site to make it easier for Google to find. But I would say that the people who really crack this thing, they have something unique.
Mm-hmm.
They connect with people, the right people, as human beings on social.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make it real easy for those people to share their stuff. Yeah.
Cool. Great. Thank you. That's very, very valuable. But ultimately, people become thought leaders because they ultimately want to generate business from that. But that can be a tricky thing, can't it?
Yeah. I mean, it when it works best, it's a positive feedback loop.
Right.
When it works not so well, it's the exact opposite. So a lot of times we run into businesses, and God bless them, they have yeah. a nice little business, but, you know, they're business coaches, they're business consultants, and they're really just sort of selling the stuff that they read in the same books you and I read, and they haven't necessarily had business successes of their own, whatever.
Right.
And then what happens is they say, I want more business, so I'd like to become a thought leader, mm-hmm. but there's nothing to lead around. Whereas you have the other person who says, I have this awesome method of changing the world or changing the industry. I know I can drive revenue around this because it adds real value. Then it's a perfect fit, right? I mean, then it's, you know, I'm a natural thought leader because I got into it for the right reasons. And my thought leadership is going to drive business, and my expanded business is going to give me more dollars to throw at my thought leadership. So if you don't have a unique niche, you know, take a retreat. Think deeply about what your unique ability is.
Right.
And I stole that concept from a gentleman named Dan Sullivan. But the unique ability, the thing that only you can do.
Right. And that might be who you appeal to.
Correct.
Like you might, you know something really well that other people do too, but they apply it to one segment of the market. And because of your experience or your background, you're very good at applying it to a totally different segment of the market. And that's the thing that makes you unique. Maybe not the thing you're applying, but the fact that you're able to apply it, you know, to single moms or unwed mothers or, you know, kids out of high school or something.
100%. I think generalists get murdered in this economy. I really do. I mean, to go out there and say, I'm a business consultant.
Right.
Okay.
So, there's 100 others right behind you.
But if I'm a business consultant that specializes in prenatal and postnatal care that between 2 million and 7 million, I mean, these aren't new ideas, but you need to do that basic marketing research one-on-one to be able to carve that niche out for yourself.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And we can help with that, right? You're very fired up about this. I mean, I love it. You're enthusiastic about it. Why do you love this stuff so much?
That's a great question. You know, I think it's really cool to be part of a changing world. I mean, I think there's this crazy thing going on right now where art, marketing, business, all of these formerly disparate strands are coming together in this new way. And a lot of people look at it as a negative.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, there's no difference between marketing and content. Journalism is losing its integrity. But I would say that what we're experiencing is the equivalent of the printing press, where, you know, there was a movie called The Blair Witch Project when I was in high school.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
I remember The Blair Witch Project, yes.
And they convinced everyone, it was in the earliest days of the internet, they convinced everybody that this thing was real, that these kids got lost in the
very
woods
low
and got
budget.
Killed and all this. The marketing was better than the movie. The marketing was art. The commercials were so brilliant, and the way they spread that myth.
Yeah.
And I just think that there's so much opportunity for people to realize their dreams, inexpensively through pure creativity and pure resourcefulness. I just love being part of making that happen. I just think that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, it is. And it's really, it's a way of affecting change in the world, because we're so interconnected now as a global economy, and as a global, you know, communications, we're so tight with each other. Like, we really can affect change all over the world.
Yeah, and maybe it's my my punk rock past, but I also like that that this stuff probably works better for the small and mid-tier companies than
I mean, big companies.
You know, look, I mean, I think that there are some large companies out there that are just fantastic and that use this stuff wonderfully and that have a great mission and all of that. But I also like that someone with some brains in their head and some creativity can literally upend the world and get noticed in such a big way without having a multi-million dollar advertising budget. I think that's fun.
Yeah, it is. It is. As a matter of fact, just this weekend, I was looking over some of Jay Abraham's stuff.
Yeah.
And I was reading something where he says, like, you know, technology now, like everything is up for grabs, and that's exciting. It can be scary for some people because things change and your whole business model might be obsolete in a week. But that's also exciting because it means there's tremendous opportunity.
It appeals to me. I mean, it is scary if you've been doing things and you know, for 30 years and doing them really, really well.
Yeah,
it's tough. Right. But for someone like me who, you know, for all my faults, I have a million ideas a minute, and I'm always looking at the margins. I find it kind of fun.
Cool. Okay, so I'm sorry to say we're almost out of time. If people want to learn more about you and get in touch with you, how can they find out about you, Mike?
Sure. You know, our website is microfamemedia.com. Mm-hmm. You know, microfame.com. But you know what? I'm going to do something crazy. I'll just give you my personal information. You may as well get in touch with me. It's MFS, Michael Farley Shine, MFS, at microfamemedia.com. Don't ask me how I got that middle name.
Yeah.
And I'll give you my cell phone number. It's 917-273-9885. I love to talk to interesting people. So give me a ring.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to come into studio. I always appreciate when people make the effort. So thank you.
No, the pleasure is all mine. It's been great.
Wonderful. And thank you. You, of course, our listeners, for making this all possible. And keep in mind that we will be back next week with more great shows. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you on a path of consciousness or spirit? Is personal or spiritual empowerment important to you? I'm Sam Leibowitz, your conscious consultant, and I am here to answer your questions and bring you experts in all areas of life to raise your awareness and support you in your evolution. Tune in at my new time, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on www.talkradio.nyc. That's Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
Dude. Transforming Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com. It's the Dudes of Disruption.
The Dudes of Disruption is a new show geared toward the global tribe of disruptors who are committed to interrupting the automatic ways of their lives so they go out and leave their mark on the world powerfully.
Consider every Tuesday night, 8 to 9 Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com, forever disrupted. The Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatic.
Dude.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.